Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Are you ready? Readiness always takes preparation, and preparation is an advanced state of affairs by which you get things in place before they are desperately needed. For example, digging a well before you're thirsty. In the following parable, the Lord Jesus Christ warns the unbeliever to take advantage of the time. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Matthew 25:5. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, the 10 virgins all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the prudent virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish virgins said to the prudent virgins, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent virgins answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while the foolish virgins were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those prudent virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Excuse me. Later, the foolish virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Matthew 25:13. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. So we know how to be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 tells us, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." There are many who put off the decision. The cares of life seem more important than this decision, but truly it is the most important decision you can make in this lifetime. It's a one-time decision with a result that stands unchangeable forever. And when you request salvation from God, He grants it, and you are saved for all time. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, "I give eternal life, the Zoe life, the resurrection life, to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." A God who never changes saves you, and He will never change His mind. And there is absolutely nothing you can ever do to get out of union with the Lord Jesus Christ once you're placed in union with Him by God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17 say this, "Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful the lifestyle you adopt. Not as unwise men would adopt a lifestyle, but as wise would adopt a lifestyle." Ephesians 5:16, "Making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Ephesians 5:17, "So then don't be foolish like the foolish virgins, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that everyone come to a change of mind about Christ." So I guess the bottom line of that whole thing is, don't waste your time. Don't think you have a lot of time. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. All right, so let's enjoy some singing. Let's hear June Murphy sing the opening song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is
Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to put sin and the law behind us and to embrace the freedom that you have provided. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, are you dead to sin and the law? Are you dead to sin and the law? That's what we're going to investigate in this lesson. But first, a few announcements. So prayers for Sue Halverson and family. Gordon, her husband, is at home with the Lord. He left to be with the Lord on Friday night, April 17th. And so please keep Sue and her family in your prayers, and I'm sure she'd appreciate hearing from you. Reminder to check in on Facebook before church service, and a reminder to like Barah Ministries on Facebook. I think the last time I checked, we had nearly 3,200 people signed up to be a part of our online community. So get your friends to join our online community today. Our fourth 10-minute lesson posted to our Facebook community last week, and it is God Cares for You, and it got over 7,200 views. And one of the things that I did is I looked at where those views were coming from, and a lot of those views are coming from India. So I'm imagining that one of these days when I go over to India, I'm going to be just mobbed by people. You know, oh, there he is! And you laugh, but I'm dead serious. That's the kind of stuff that actually happens. So really glad that those lessons are getting out there. Mark your calendars. The next deacons meeting is April 25th at 7:30 a.m. at the regular spot. And June, you are the guest star for that, so don't be late so that we don't have to kill you.
Okay.
All right? Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 10th, 2015. Mark your calendars. Today we're visiting the vets at 1:45 p.m., so if you have time to join us, please do. That's always a fun experience. There is no face-to-face teaching May 3rd and July 5th, and May 3rd you'll just have a week off. I won't have time to create lessons for that week because I'll be international. Mark your calendars. The Coeur d'Alene Conference will be in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, August 7th and 8th, 2015. We're looking forward to that. Yeah, a little golf, a little study, a little John and Monica Miller. It was great to have John and Monica here for my birthday last week. That was really cool. And to have Donna Chin here for my birthday, that was really cool too. So thank you for coming down. Bra Ministries will be back on the radio starting next Sunday on KXEG 1280 AM at 9:30 AM on Sundays, so that should be cool. We won't get to listen to it ourselves, but you can listen to it online. And we're going to be doing the Romans series and some evangelism. June's fourth album is on the website, and it's called You Ran After Me, so you can download that. Happy birthday to Dana Youngs. She had a birthday on April 18th, number 40. That's awesome. Coming over into the quadrenarian generation. And thanks to all who came to my birthday party yesterday, which was very cool. And a special thanks to my Energizer Bunny wife who put that all together. I don't think she stopped moving from 6 in the morning till midnight. It was incredible. Yeah, she did. You know, I realized, I thought that was my birthday party until about the last hour. You know, and then the DJ started going into this whole Mexican set, you know. And then it was no longer my party. So I paid the DJ to leave. I said, here, could you just take this and go? So it's just pretty funny. You know, the black parties are kind of like this. Just stay right here. Pay attention to this. This is how you dance. If anybody ever asks you to dance, just put your hands right here and move back and forth like that. Stay right here. Got that? You're going to be very popular. You do what I'm telling you. Somebody will ask you to prom. All right, enough of this levity. The offering. We're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay to study the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of internet teaching or by means of face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one of us must do just as we have purposed in our hearts and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barat Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barat Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. A couple weeks ago, Pastor was talking about the unfathomable nature of heaven, how Paul couldn't even describe it. And it hit me that, you know, everything about God is unfathomable, not just the thoughts of heaven. You know, Him forgiving all of us, Him, His divine nature of justice and to be righteous and just everything about Him and everything that is included in His plan for us right now. You know, but what we see as unfathomable are the worries of life. Or maybe that's just me now that I have an 11-month-old. Because there's just so much to think about, you know. I mean, you name it. There's braces down the road. There's girlfriends. There's getting sick, his first broken arm. Everything, you know. I don't even like to see him crying. I can't imagine when he gets hurt sometime. So it's just funny that I don't even know, you know, how these parents with older kids do it. It's just so much to think about, so much to juggle. You know, Dana's got some older daughters, and they're going through, you know, they're growing up, and you know, I've got a friend who has a daughter that, you know, she's in high school, and she's made it through so much, and she's avoided drugs, and she's avoided teenage pregnancy, and you know, the unfathomable worries come in again, and you know, now she's investigating Mormonism. You know, the parent never thought of that coming. You know, you're worried about all the other things, but you see something like that, and it's a funny thing to actually worry about. You know, being a Christian, you worry about somebody getting into Mormonism, and that's not a normal thing. You think, oh, they're getting into religion, that's lovely, you know, and you'd be happy for them. You know, so that's why we come here, that's why we come to church, you know, and that's why we go to the Bible, is to have a calm. And we see in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, unfathomable peace, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, you know, that's why you support this ministry. So when you do get the phone call from a friend who's going through tribulation, you're ready to go. You're not wondering what you should say, or you're not worrying about, you know, how do I use my human power to help them. You just push them right to God. You know, you give them a verse like this, be anxious for nothing. You know, the peace of God, which is unfathomable, will guard your hearts and your minds, so you can relax in that. And that's why we, you know, we support this church, and we support Pastor, we're all supporting the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for your constant support. And the offering song, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Fount. Thank you.
Jesus, saw me when I was
like a feather, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Welcome back. Is my mic on? Awesome. So thanks for that great offering message, Deacon Denny. You know, it's kind of irritating to me is I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I have seen people, especially in this congregation, get on the right track. And then as soon as they're on the right track, something like that Mormonism thing comes up, right? And, you know, for the young ladies in the congregation, that happens a lot of times. You know, they give their heart to somebody. And the person happens not to be a Christian. And then instead of, what you would think would happen is that the young lady would be inspiring the Mormon to come to Christianity. But exactly the opposite happens, right? Always. And it is definitely Satan's plan to derail you. I've seen it with a niece that I had. You know, she was on a fantastic track. She was going to school. She had a great job. She had all kind of resources in place. And then she meets a guy. He happens to be Jewish. He leads her right out of school, right out of her job, takes her to another state, dumps her, and there she is. Right? And I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. So it irritates me because, you know, people get on a great track, and then all of a sudden, they get derailed by love, a person that likely, you know, statistically speaking, this person won't know 10 years from now. So you have to be on guard for that kind of stuff. And that's what, you know, at the end of the first lesson, we say, be sober, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Well, if you think about what a roaring lion is, it's just somebody who makes a lot of noise. There's no bite. There's a lot of noise, and we listen to the noise, follow the noise. We follow the shiny object. And that irritates me to see that happen to Christians. But it happens to us over and over and over again. Just when life is getting really cool, in comes some element to break up the unity of it. So, be on guard. Today's study, are you dead to sin and the law? Are you dead to sin and the law? And you should have an answer to that by this time. Are you dead to sin?
Yep.
Debbie?
Yes.
We are dead to sin. Are you dead to the law?
Yes.
Don't look at me like a deer in headlights. Shake your head up and down or back and forth. Yes or no? Yeah, we're dead to sin and we're dead to the law. So we begin our transition into Romans chapter 7. Let's take a look at the first seven verses of Romans chapter 7. Here's what it says. Or do you not know, which means what? Is you ignorant? Or do you not know, brethren, believers in Christ? For I'm speaking to those who know the law. Who are the ones who know the law? Two categories, Jews or Gentiles? Jews. Right? Because Gentiles are not under the law. So Paul is talking to Jews here. Or do you not know, my Jewish friends? Are you ignorant? I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Romans 7:2. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law, concerning the husband. Romans 7:3. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, joined to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Romans 7:5. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. All right, so when we look at Romans chapter 7, there are really three parts to it, verses 1 to 6, verses 7 to 24, and then the big finish and the big punch in the head in Romans 7:25. So that's what we're going to study. And we're going to begin just by a quick overview look of verses 1 to 6. So let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll start our transition into chapter 7.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Today's study, are you dead to sin and the law? Are you dead to sin and the law? So we begin our transition into Romans chapter 7. And as we make this move, it might be a good idea to look at the structure of Romans between chapters 5 and 8. And let's begin at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith in the past, we keep on having peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ right now, Romans 5, 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the sphere of grace in which we stand right now. And we exult in the future hope with absolute confidence of the glory of God. So as a result of our justification by faith, we keep on having peace with God. And what that means is that God has nothing against us. And we can enjoy the peacefulness of this relationship with God, and we can relax in it. Now, if we skipped over Romans chapter 6 and 7 and picked up the thoughts of chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2, we wouldn't miss a beat. Take a look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ. For the law of God, the Holy Spirit of life, in union with Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So if we just took those two chapters out, 6 and 7, it would be just a perfect flow between Romans 5 and Romans 8. And Romans 8, when we get to it, is going to be a chapter that will make you jump for joy because it's all about the magnificent things that we have as a result of the fact that we're justified. But Romans 6 and 7 are in there. And so what are Romans 6 and 7 all about? Well, as we learned in Romans 8, 1 and 2, we're free. We're free from sin, and we're free from the law. That's what chapters 6 and 7 are all about. Chapters 6 and 7 make you know that we are free from sin and free from the law. Romans chapter 6 stops to deal with the religious who overfocus on sin, but we are dead to sin. Romans chapter 7 deals with the legalists who overfocus on the law. We are free from the law. And who would be the people that would overfocus on the law when Paul was sending this letter? It would be the Jews. The Gentiles weren't under the law, but the Jewish believers were under the law, and they couldn't reconcile the fact that they were no longer under law, but now they were under grace. See, at the point of justification, at the point when we are saved, and God the Father is announcing our name throughout the halls of heaven as one who is justified, as one who is declared righteous, the new believer in Christ, and many career believers in Christ, have a difficult time coming to terms with their freedom. Their religious upbringing and their legalistic upbringing scream loudly at the freedom, so that the believer in Christ turns to the flesh and asks the flesh to stop sinning and to obey the law. See, that's what happens to you as a believer in Christ right after you become a believer. You want to clean yourself up. And so you turn to the flesh, and you ask the flesh, stop sinning, stop breaking the law. The flesh is not willing to do that. The flesh is not willing to do that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. What part of the young lady we were talking about who's investigating Mormonism would be investigating Mormonism? The flesh. The flesh. When teenage relationships go south, why did they go south in the first place? Because it was the flesh in operation. What was the flesh trying to do? And this is the connection that teenagers don't make in their head, right? They don't make the connection in their head that, you know, all these things just become words to teenagers. You know, what time is it? You know, where's my phone? Oh, shit. Huh? No, adults too? That's pretty bad. Let's see, who text messaged me? Yeah. What did he say? Well, wait, where are my notes? You know, to hell with it that this is about your life, right? So you think about the teen relationships that go south. Why do they go south? Because two fleshes get together and indulge each other. And what are those two fleshes seeking to do? Those two fleshes are seeking to destroy each other. Those two fleshes are seeking to hurt each other. Why don't you marry an unbeliever? Because you're marrying the flesh, believers. And the flesh is out to destroy you, is out to destroy themselves, and is out to destroy every relationship around them. That's why. Absolutely. It's counterfeit unity. And if you fall in love with somebody first, before you got this straight in yourself, you're not going to listen to anybody tell you about this. You're not. I love them. Yeah, that's great. I love him. Yeah, but he's 20 years old. He didn't even know where the bathroom is. Why? I love him. Yeah, but he doesn't have a job. Yeah, I love him. That's great. Great. We're really impressed with that. I've been there. You feeling me on that? See, that's why God gives you everything before you need it. Because he knows what's going to happen to you. Don't you even get the term fall in love? I fell in love. When has falling ever been good? It's not good. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit. The spirit sets its desire against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. You know, why is this stuff important to me? I got a daughter that's going to college. Right? College is hell for a believer in Christ. Because what's going to happen in college? They're going to teach you evolution and challenge everything you believe about creation. You're going to have all these people around you who are the same age as you, who don't know jack, and they're going to try to get you into all these different things that are not supportive of you doing what you went to school for, which is get an education that results in a degree. And I tell you, the greatest thing that happened to me in my life is getting hit in the head with a baseball bat at 8 years old. Because I didn't listen to my mom. I got hit in the head with a baseball bat. And after that, I made the conclusion, listen to your mom. And she said, look, there'll be plenty of time for girls. Go to college and get an education. And that's what I did. And the girls were on the back burner. Now, when I got to graduate school, it was a whole different ball game. I had a degree. But at Northwestern, serious business. And you had to anyway, because it was quarter system, 16 weeks of work in 10 weeks. You blink your eyes, and the next thing you know, you're hearing midterms. Midterms? I just got here. I don't even know what midterms are. The flesh in you is antagonistic toward God, antagonistic toward you, antagonistic toward others. It loves sinning and it loves breaking the law. And you have friends that remind you of the flesh. These are the people in your life who are inconsolable. They are run by the flesh. There's absolutely no pleasing them. And rather than asking the leopard, your flesh, to change its spots, perhaps it would be a great idea for you to walk by means of the Spirit instead. Now, let's take a look at the first six verses of Romans chapter 7. We'll pick it up from its connection to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Here's Romans 6, 14. Sin shall not be a master over you, a lord over you, for you're not under the principle of law, you're under the sphere of grace. You are not under the principle of law, you are under the sphere of grace. Therefore, you are free from the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Or do you not know? Are you ignorant, Jewish brethren? For I'm speaking to those who know the principles of law, the Jewish believers, not to the Gentiles, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Now, if we were in systematic theology, we would now go into the doctrine of marriage. But this is not the doctrine of marriage, the next two verses. It's simply an example. So look, in human terms, death is the only way to get around the law. Funny, isn't it, that we died to sin to break the law's hold on us. We died to sin to break the law's hold on us. Did the Lord know what he was doing? Did he? Yeah, because death is the only way to get around the law. And so now Paul illustrates that idea that death breaks the bonds of law by using a law everybody is familiar with, marriage, Romans 7:2. For example, the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living until death do us part. That's what we say in the marriage ceremony. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. Death is the only thing that breaks the legal bond from a spiritual point of view. It frees you from one marriage relationship and opens up the possibility for you to enter a new relationship. So now you're scratching your head. Well, so what does that mean exactly? Romans 7:3. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined, that is, married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. And he is an adulterer for causing that, if he caused it. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Right? That's the spiritual law. Oh, man. Does that mean I'm an adulteress? Yeah, a lot of times. Am I an adulterer? Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah. How about that? Now, from a legal sense, it's different, right? From a legal sense, and there are a lot of things that are different in a legal sense that are not the same in the spiritual sense. Right now in our country, men can marry men and women can marry women. From a legal sense, that's not the spiritual sense, right? So what's being discussed here is the spiritual sense. And in the spiritual sense, your marriage is over when the death of one of the people occurs. See? Now the legal sense is different than that. So adulterer, adulteress, yes, don't be shocked. Oh my God, I can't believe I sinned. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked at God's rules. We found ways around them. Don't be shocked. Just count on grace. So it is with us humans. See? And this is the real point of this, not to get obsessed. See, in systematic theology, we now go into the doctrine of marriage and the right of remarriage and all this stupid crap that gets you thinking about stuff that you should not be thinking about. What we should be doing is forgetting all those things which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. But let's use the analogy for that purpose which it was being used here by Paul. Here's what he's saying. When we're born, we are in Adam, so we are married to Adam. And we have all that goes with being in union with him, including spiritual death, which leads to us being set to die the second death. When we are in Adam, we are married to Adam, we are spiritually dead and set to die the second death. In Adam, the only way we could be righteous is by keeping the whole law, and of course we don't. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we die to the relationship with Adam, and now we are free to enter a new relationship in Christ, and our relationship with Christ begins with a death, so that we can be free from Adam and free from the law and free from sin. Here it is. Remember Romans chapter 6 verse 3. Or do you not know? Are you ignorant? That all of us who have been baptized into union with Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Now you know the significance of that. If you're going to marry somebody other than Adam, you have to be dead to Adam. That death to Adam releases you from your marriage to Adam, and now you're free to marry somebody else. So once we're free from the law, the Lord Jesus Christ provides our righteousness and our sanctification, the things that make us holy, and presents himself as someone to marry. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Therefore, my Jewish brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another. To whom? To him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. The fruit of being in Adam is what? The second death. The lake of fire. That's the fruit of being married to Adam. The fruit of being married to Jesus Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 7:5. For while we Jewish believers were in the flesh, that is, while we were unbelievers, which we no longer are, by the way, because we're in the Spirit as believers, but while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for the second death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound in Adam, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. And these Jewish believers were in a tremendous struggle with that, just like you are. Tremendous struggle between law and grace. And when they saw this passage, it was stunning to them for so many reasons. It was stunning because Paul said it, who was a Pharisee. It was stunning because they had been bound to the law as a culture for over 1,500 years. And now they were hearing that they were free. It's the same thing that happened in 1863 when Abraham Lincoln told the brothers that they were now free. They couldn't believe it. Like, well, is Mazes still going to give me a job? No, Mazes is no longer going to give you a job. You got to get another job. Where am I going to get a job at? Well, all you know how to do is pick cotton, dog, so you better find somebody who needs some cotton picked. People who are freed from prison just aren't ready for the freedom. Are you? Are you dead to sin? And are you dead to the law in your heart? Are you dead to sin, and are you dead to the law in your mind? Because that's what we've been studying for the last three or four chapters of Romans. Over and over and over saying to you, you are dead to sin. Religion's out. You are dead to the law. Legalism is out. You're free. Huh? We'll learn more about this as we continue into the depths of Romans chapter 7. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, the eternal life, the resurrection life, but he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, but instead the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song, I Can't Disappoint You.
Your love is not the love of man. You don't give it, then take it away. It is in your grace I stand. All your mercies are new every day. You don't make me jump through hoops. I can do nothing to earn your love. You know me eternally, and your love is and I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you'll always be around. Your love remains, it remains the same. You won't take it away. I can't disappoint you, oh no. I can't disappoint you, oh no. all of my sins. You remember to forget, you won't bring them up to me again. You've given me your righteousness, made me perfect, now I'm in your hands. You bore all my guilt and shame, you're the rock upon which I stand. And I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you'll always be around. Your love remains, it remains the same. You won't take it away. I can't disappoint you, oh no. I can't disappoint you. You're all-knowing God, never caught off guard. You all I would do, yeah, you knew my heart. Before time began, you chose to provide all I ever need, nothing's on the fly. I'm in union with you, my salvation is secure. You cannot deny me, no.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. And thank you for making clear the fact that we are not under sin and we are not under law, but we are under grace. And so let us revel in the freedom, and let all those who hear this be freed from the bondage of religion and legalism and move into Christianity. And instead of focusing on sin and the law, focus on a relationship with you. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.